When Fred Astaire received the report of his first screen test, it said the following: can't act, can't sing, slightly bald, but can dance a little. We have to wonder what Fred Astaire did with that report. Did he keep it to prove that other people's opinions can be so dead wrong? Did he keep it as a humble reminder of where he'd started and how far he'd come? Or did he toss it out with the trash, never thinking of it again? Or was it a memory from those early days that stayed with him forever? Memories can have such power in our lives. In a year-long course I once took at the Cambridge Family Institute on narrative therapy, I learned that it's not actually the memories that have the power as much as it is how we see them and how we tell the story of our memories, even if only to ourselves. The memory stays the same, but the meaning we take from it can lead in very different directions. The same memory, depending on what we do with it, how we frame it, can leave us feeling victimized and defeated. Or seen from another perspective, it can give us courage and strength, telling us that having endured the worst, a terrible time, probably means that we can survive just about anything. While we can't change the past, we can change the lens through which we interpret it, and why not? If there are multiple perspectives to be had, why not take the one that makes us strong and gives us courage and hope for future times? The older we get, the more our lives are filled with memories. It's enough for those of us who have reached beyond midlife stage to wonder if, in fact, we don't actually live our lives twice, once as the moments when they actually occur, and then again as memories. Some of those memories are memories we cherish and hold close, and other are memories we wish we could forget, but somehow can't seem to shake. I think of the poem, "When I Am Old, I Shall Wear Purple," that says, "When I am old, I shall make up for the sobriety of my youth. I shall go out in my slippers in the rain and pick flowers in other people's gardens, and I shall learn to spit." Silly poem, yet a good reminder that it's important to live enough on the edge so that when the day comes, when we are living mostly in and through our memories, the choices that we made give us memories that make us smile. Recently, while on an afternoon break from my study group that was meeting at the Wayside Inn in Sudbury, a friend and I took a ride to Wayland, and I drove her to see the house where my husband and children and I had lived for 25 years. And the memories came flooding back, as they always do when I drive up High Rock Road. And as we sat in the car that afternoon looking at the house, I realized I couldn't begin to put into words those memories that just seeing that house again always bring back. So all I said was that the new owners had added the third garage, and we'd never managed to have grass that green. And I knew my friend understood the emotion that ride evoked for me as she talked about the times when she goes back to Atlanta and the memories of her children as babies and her divorce and her move to Boston. It's hard to believe that all those Christmases, all those swimming lessons, all those teacher conferences, those soccer games, all those dinner parties, all those arguments over homework and the telephone and curfews in the car and why there was never any gas in it, while happening at the time and seemed so permanent and endless, it all ends one day, and then they live on only as memories. But that's what happens. Children grow up, and parents age, and the memories move in. The writer Diana Aithill, now in her 90s, says so eloquently in her memoir, The old are not just dots at the end of a thin black line projecting into nothingness. They are parts of the broad, many-color, teeming river with beginnings, ripenings, decayings, and new beginnings. And we are part of it. So let us not waste our time grizzling. Grizzling. I'd never heard that word, so I looked it up. The dictionary says it means to fret and grumble, and right she is. Those of us who have the benefit of reaching life beyond midlife have been given the gift of longevity, and that, we know, is not a guarantee. So on this Memorial Day, let us give thanks for the memories, as Bob Hope used to sing. Memorial Day is a time for that. It's a time that asks us to remember, and on this weekend especially, we remember those who have died. We remember those who have died and continue to die in service to their country. No matter the parades, the picnics, the family cookouts, the sailing trips, the good fortune of having a three-day weekend, and even sunshine, maybe, after too much rain, Memorial Day is always tinged with a kind of sadness. And how can it not be, as it honors the young dead soldiers who died before they even had a chance to have memories begin? Our country has been celebrating Memorial Day for 148 years. In May of 1868, the Union General John Logan declared a formal day of decoration when all of the 20,000 graves of the Confederate and Union soldiers buried in Arlington National Cemetery would be decorated with flowers to remember their sacrifice. And through the years, Memorial Day has become the day we honor all the dead who died in all the wars, not just the 600,000 who died in the Civil War, but the 320,000 who died in World War I, the 1,076,000 in World War II, the 129,000 in Korea, and the 211,000 men and women who died in Vietnam, and how many more dead in Iraq and Afghanistan. These numbers represent all of the combat deaths on all sides of all the wars. And if you add up all of the combat deaths in all of the wars throughout the world going back to the 18th century, the total is just under 3 million. Tomorrow, Arlington National Cemetery will place a small American flag on each of the now 300,000 graves there, including my father's and my mother with him. My father was 17 when he enlisted in the Army in World War I. He fought in France, and he survived and came home. Whenever I think of that war, I think of the famous poem on Flanders Field. That poem was written by a Canadian doctor named John McCrae, who had been on the faculty of McGill University. He was serving in the 1st Field Artillery Brigade in Belgium as a surgeon and was just overwhelmed by the terrible carnage and loss on the battlefield. One of the soldiers killed on a May morning in the spring of 1915 was a 22-year-old former student of McCrae's. He was killed by a shell burst, and McCrae officiated at his burial later that day because there was no chaplain. And afterwards, he wrote the poem. He could see the red poppies in the ditches from where he was sitting. He wrote the poem in about 20 minutes, and then he threw it away, thinking it wasn't very good. Another officer found it and sent it to a newspaper in London where it was later published. Here's the 15-line poem. In Flanders fields, the poppies blow between the crosses row on row that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved, and were loved. And now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from falling hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. It's almost 100 years since that poem was written, and we have to wonder if the foe of which he speaks isn't war itself. So we remember the young dead soldiers on this Memorial Day, and as we do, we acknowledge the blessings that we have each been given because we've been granted the gift of life. So let us ask, what are the few and worthy things to which we attend well? Or as the poet Mary Oliver asks in her poem, The Summer Day, tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? If we live long enough, it will come to pass that one day our lives will be made up mostly of memories, and some will be harder than others, and some will we have to accept and make our peace with. Life is nothing if not filled with complexities and contradictions and the unexpected. Just ask that bald fellow who could dance a little. But into each life, yours and mine too, come times of grace. I pray your days be as good as you can make them, and may the lens through which you view your memories bring you strength and hope and peace for the days ahead. May it be so.